Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 7th of May, recording at 9:41 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, let's look at some of the highlights here on this interesting day. The big story among the Asian stock markets is Japan's rally, up a big 3.55% in here today for the Nikkei 225. And the setup for that was last Friday when we had yen falling to beyond the 99 yen level against the US dollar, where it's still hovering here today. Now, elsewhere in Asia, excuse me for the scratchy voice, we also had a strong day in India, with the Nifty 50 up 1.21%, and the Sensex up nearly 1.10%. Malaysia up 1.41%, and that got the boost from, albeit a contested or disputed, I should say, election result. The government remains in power, and Thailand had a similar gain of 1.4% as well. Indonesia up over 1%. So the decliners, and they were very small, on average about a quarter of a percentage point, and there weren't many of them, but they include the Philippines, Australia, the Korean market, and also Taiwan. Now, in Europe, again, we had solid gains here. The only one that I can see is an exception is the small decline in the Netherlands index, down a quarter of a percent. But and the top gainer here is Italy, up 1.5%. Now, we've seen also the Euro Stoxx 50. That's an important one. That's that SX5E index. And that had another gain here today. But the important point is it's broken to new recovery highs overall. Now, the banks have not broken to new recovery highs, but they're in a strong rally, and they've retraced over 50% of their decline. So there's still some growing confidence here, despite the long-running economic problems. And in the Americas, a big gain by the Brazilian market, up over 1.5%. Wall Street, very steady, closed near the highs of the day, with the Dow pushing up above the 15,000 level for the first time. It's at 15,056. The S&P extending that gain above the 1600 level to nearly 1626. So strong across the boards, and also the transportation index. Now, that had led the rally to new highs by a couple of months or so, and then started to underperform for a while. But in the last 4 days, it surged up to another new high in here. So that's, again, a very strong performance overall. Now, elsewhere, well, let's say we just take a look at the government bonds here. In the last few trading days, say the last 3 or 4 days, we've seen some sharp downward moves in the bond prices, long-dated government bond prices. And those continued today, with both bunds and the UK gilts down fairly sharply. So what we have seen are a number of downward dynamics. The US Treasuries didn't do that much, but they were a little bit easier in here today. And Owen and I were talking about this morning, and he raised the question, was this reflecting growing confidence among investors, or was it beginning to reflect the fact that people were aware of the fact that quantitative easing, QE, was not going to go on forever here, in all probability, and that the bond market might be getting a little less support. Well, I think the message is growing confidence here in stock markets. I mean, we've had a number of ranging consolidations really since the beginning of February, since the end of January. And markets have continued to push higher. There have been very few downward breaks that have been sustained. And Wall Street is one of the stronger markets overall. That's good for global sentiment. We've also seen the continued strength in the ASEAN market sector, and that's so often been a leader. And then other markets that have worried within Asia, India, people were worried about India for quite some time, but really in the last couple of months, it's been very strong and rallied not that far away from the upper side of its historic ranges. China, even more important and a bigger worry, but at least China has steadied over the last few days. And so it looks, it's stemmed its downward decline for at least the short term in here. And best case, putting in a low here. Best case is it's putting in an important low and well above the low that we'd seen late last year. But the dramatic story in Asia is definitely Japan. And I wrote a piece, would have been maybe 2-3 weeks ago, just saying that of the various possibilities, the minimum was that we would see a good technical rally. Well, obviously, we've seen an extremely good technical rally overall. The next of three possibilities was that it would see a cyclical bull market, and that potential is very much on the cards, again, assuming that the yen moves a bit lower, and assuming that we get a little bit more global GDP growth. Stock markets may be starting to discount some of that as well. I bring up that point because if global growth were to continue to deteriorate, we would get further pressure on Japan to hold off because of the competitive disadvantage that other countries might be expressing. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's very much an outside chance. I'll go along with Goldman Sachs' Jim O'Neill, a level-headed deep thinker on markets, who seldom overstates his case, in my opinion. And he's saying that the yen can fall to between 110 and 120 against the US dollar over the next 18 months or so. And I wouldn't bet against that at all. But the big gains, the biggest gains, are going to be made here in the stock market, I feel quite strongly. Now, what else to mention here in currencies? What we see is real strength in the Asian sector overall. So the Asian dollar index is getting back up close to its highs. So that's been a good, strong rally in here. The US dollar is down at new reaction lows here against the Chinese renminbi, so the renminbi remains quite firm in here overall. The US dollar index is no longer appreciating. Actually, it's rolled over a bit, and that tends to happen when investor confidence picks up generally, and we've certainly seen that to take place, in my opinion. And there's still plenty of soft spots here. The big one is in commodity markets overall. And if we consider some of those, the best news, as far as I'm concerned, in that sector, is the softness of the staple grains in the U.S., and that would be soybeans, corn, and wheat. And the main reason for that is, of course, that there is not going to be any drought this year. And that was a big worry here, particularly in the far western grain regions. A major worry. But no, that's not the problem. There is some concern over the wet and still very cool weather, which is ensuring late plantings overall. So that needs to be followed by decent summer and a mild autumn to bring the crop in successfully. Well, there are good few weeks while that will all be unfolding here, but so far the outlook is not too bad overall. Industrial metals remain a soft spot here for the global economy, but I mentioned last week that prices were firming up. They were certainly oversold and were due for at least a bit of a technical bounce. Now they've seen that and a bit more in some instances. The bit more, I would say, is with copper, which saw one of the stronger rallies overall. And my feeling is that we are seeing some short covering in these industrial metals. We may also We're also seeing some cutback in production, and that's a favorable factor for prices overall. And we're seeing some steadiness in the price of leading mining shares, or Rio Tinto and BHP. Those are a couple that I watch particularly closely, and they look to have bottomed near the lower sides of their trading ranges for the last many months. So, is this confidence so that we're seeing in equities, which has included also some rotational swings within sectors, away from some of the utilities, away from or less demand for some of the high-flying consumer autonomies, and then with some of the recovery candidates, cyclical sectors picking up, is that actually justified by developments here overall? Well, we do have some overextensions relative to the 200-day moving averages. That always leaves me a little bit uneasy because we know that these markets do revert back to the mean, whether it's in the form of sideways action, which we saw a fair amount of from really the beginning of February and running into April. But nevertheless, today we do have a fair number of stock markets, to say, which are still somewhat overextended. We know that the foot at these quantitative easing central banks is pressed firmly to the floor, and the Fed has reassured people that they're going to continue with this policy as far as, at least as far as, the immediate future is concerned. Now, in the back of my mind, actually, it's not that far in the back of my mind. It's more at the forefront. I think there could be a negative surprise there in coming weeks, but it's certainly not a factor here today. People are taking a bullish cue on this, definitely. So that's just that's a situation where I think we're still getting more investors pushing into these markets than are actually coming out. And maybe that's not surprising when you consider all the bearish sentiment that was being expressed and the things that people were worrying about If you think back to, gosh, just last November. Well, I know that's what, only 6, 7 months back. But the overall view here in markets has changed dramatically since then. And to coin a phrase, let's make hay while the sun shines. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.